Good evening. Welcome to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. We're really pleased to be sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies. And this episode, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by representatives from the Sussex Beacon, that is Rachel Brett, Chief Executive. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, nice to be back, David.
Yes, yes. And Alan Spink, another returning guest who's Community Services Manager at the Sussex Beacon. Hello, Alan.
Hello, David.
Hello. And we met last week at the Beaver Conference. Beaver is the British HIV Association, and we've got some news to share with you about that, listeners. And obviously we'll be talking to our fantastic guests, and they've chosen some songs for this evening. So shall we start with Rachel's first choice of song, which is Suede, and that is the beautiful one. Ah, that was a great song. That was The Beautiful Ones by Suede. Rachel, why did you choose that song?
Well, I just love Suede. They're great live. They do put on a really good performance. Mm. And, yeah, they're quite timeless, really, aren't they? Mm, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought, because obviously you're Chief Executive of the Sussex Beacon, that sort of, I thought, well, perhaps that is describing our service users, the beautiful ones.
They are indeed the beautiful ones. Yes.
What a wide range of bunch we are. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Diverse, amazing, vibrant people.
Yeah. So, you were, last time you were on the show was in July of last year, and I think you'd only been in post a 2 or 3 months. How have you been, and what have you been up to since that episode?
Well, it's been quite interesting. Yes, there's been quite a lot going on at the Beacon. There's been quite a lot of change. People will probably be aware that, unfortunately, we weren't recommissioned to deliver the IPU, the inpatient unit, our clinical work by the NHS. So the IPU sadly closed after over 30 years of operation in January of this year. However, one of the things that we have been working with the NHS is a new iteration of our clinical work, which we hope to be able to share with people soon. I think in the press, the NHS were very open about working with us on our clinical work. Mm. So whilst the IPU is closed at the moment, our hope is that we will be soon revisioning what our clinical offer is in partnership with the NHS. Mm. And we hope to be able to perhaps come back on the show and speak to you and the listeners very, very soon.
Right, well, I do look forward to that. I mean, I particularly was really saddened to hear about the closure of the inpatient unit. I think I mentioned it on air on one of our episodes that, you know, I knew people with cancer who were going through chemotherapy and would really struggle to look after themselves while going through their therapy, even managing the stairs, let alone cooking and looking after themselves. And the Beacon would have been the perfect place. To, you know, there was obviously two well to be in hospital, but too poorly to be at home, and just to have, you know, that just to have that extra level of support for people living with HIV. My last time in the inpatient lounge, I think, was when we were announcing the closure on the local news, and a tear came to my eye, because at one point that was my second home when I was really poorly back in the day. Mm. How has the community responded to the closure?
There's been quite a lot of distress, a lot of anger. Mm. I think there's a sense that there wasn't great or any consultation with the community. Mm. And for us, that was, we've shared that heartbreak and that sadness. And, we too wonder what is happening with, well, we know with some of our service users, of course, because we still support them, but what is happening to those people that would have come to the inpatient unit, because they're not getting the same level of support that they need and that they deserve and that they had. Mm. But as I said, we hope that we can turn that around and come back with something that is equally as good, if not better.
Let's hope so. I mean, to me, it just didn't make sense, the closure. I mean, Alan, you know, we're both living with HIV. We know how successful treatment is nowadays. And I can see why some people may think, oh, well, there's not a need for an inpatient unit. But we know that the people that present late or test late and get their diagnosis late are quite complex patients that need a lot of support. Plus also, as a population, we are getting older, aren't we? I mean, 50% of us in Brighton and Hove are over 50?
Yeah, it's more than that.
Is it more than
that? Yeah, it's more than that. We're actually the oldest cohort in Europe.
Really?
Not just the UK, in Brighton and Hove, the oldest cohort of people living with HIV.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's not genetic. No. It's got to be the services. The services in Brighton, between the Lawson, ourselves, the Sussex Beacon, Lunch Positive, THT, we all put in so much effort and work into keep people going.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fact that we're living well. Well, are we living well? That's a different question altogether. That's another question. But we're living. Yeah. We're living and we are still alive.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of the work that we've all done contributes towards that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I read recently that 7 in 1,000 people in Brighton and Hove are living with HIV. And that's, I think, one of the highest. I think, THT's CEO, Richard Angel, that told me that. So, Rachel, where?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's an incredible number. I mean, it speaks to the. I mean, obviously, we have a large LGBTQI+ population here, but it's not just that. It's the heterosexual community as well.
Yeah, that's the cohort that Sussex Beacon looks after. Bear in mind, it's right across Sussex. We cover all of Sussex, and more so than ever before. And the demographics of our service users accurately reflects the national picture. So we're about 50-50 straight and gay, and 50-50 men and women. We have a large number of heterosexual women that we look after, particularly in north of Sussex, and quite a large number of heterosexual men, but fewer. Heterosexual men traditionally don't find it easy to engage with services generally, and particularly when it becomes HIV, it's difficult but not impossible to get them to engage, and we do what we can. We do a lot of outreach work these days.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to hear that we are working across Sussex. I mean, I say we, but you as the Beacon, because I was a volunteer of the Beacon, I'm a service user of the Beacon still, and I noticed when you took over as CEO, Rachel, I was really pleased to see that the Sussex Beacon was engaging further afield, away from the sort of the epicentre that is Brighton and Hove, and looking at towns like Crawley and Chichester and Eastbourne, where some charities have had to withdraw providing services. But it's just, I mean, what I love about Brighton and Hove is that and the reason probably why we do have, another reason why we have so many people living with HIV here, is the quality of services. And people come, people get a diagnosis and they decide, right, where am I going to spend the rest of my life? I know I'll go to Brighton because I know I'm going to be looked after there. And that is, what the Beacon offered in the IPU was a quality service. It, years honing down those skills of working with populations of people that were disenfranchised one way or another or had health inequalities. To see the inpatient unit closed, it seemed very short-term thinking, and I'm glad to see that there are discussions as to what a future service could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the sad things is that the Beacon for a very, very long time has been an example of excellence and good practice and the very thing that the NHS wants to aspire to be. And sadly, it isn't currently in place. We hope and we know that that the people who are working with us in the NHS can see the value of the Sussex Beacon and the value of the collaborative approach we have with our other HIV colleagues in both the third sector and in the NHS. And I think it's really important to stress that that Brighton is very well served, and the rest of Sussex doesn't have the same level of investment, and that's why it's so important that we're out there trying to connect to those people, particularly people who don't engage well or really have a lot of fear because of the stigma associated with HIV. And we have a lot of people who have other intersectional characteristics that also, you know, make it even more difficult or challenging, or they're more fearful of coming forwards. They could be from an asylum seeking community, you know, they could be you know, women who are you know, fear repercussions, domestic abuse, yes, that sort of thing. Yeah. Well, and men as well, because obviously domestic abuse is not just related to one gender. So yes, and obviously, you know, even you know people who yeah, just live in the shadows, and we want to carry on as much as we can to reach out to them and be across Sussex, because we are Sussex Beacon.
Yeah, I mean it's good to see that the Sussex Beacon is part of the Sussex HIV network, which is was set up initially by clinicians, wasn't it, to provide equitable care across Sussex, so that the sort of people in what are considered satellite towns and cities to Brighton and Hove get the same standard of care and treatment and medical experience and expertise than we do get people get in Brighton, so that somebody in Worthing can have access to the opinion of a doctor in Brighton.
That's very true. The HIV network is an interesting organisation. I sort of feel we've had to fight our way into it. I think the NHS traditionally have been so focused on clinical work, and therefore they had an interest in what we were doing in the IPU, but they had zero interest in what we were doing in the community team. Now that we hear there is voices at very high level, West Streeting, suggesting that the NHS should be diverting some of their funds into community-based work, yes, and they want people working in the community. Yeah. Now, the network and other people across NHS Sussex are interested in the work that we've been doing for very many years. Our day service was set up countless years ago. Our peer mentoring project was probably set up 9 or 10 years ago in its current format. And we taking our community peer support groups out to places like Crawley, Chichester, Worthing, is actually now showing the NHS this is how you should be working in the community.
Yeah.
This is how you should be delivering support. We still have a bit of an issue with some areas of the NHS feeling that peer support should be delivered in clinic, but we
it's
don't.
It's not a natural environment.
No, it's wrong. Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And we're doing what we can. So when we go into our community, where we can, what we do is we hire rooms in public libraries. It's discreet. It's generally modern, and people find it easier. There's less barriers, and they don't have to think about, particularly in West Sussex, that they're going to a sexual health clinic for peer support, which it always gives me a problem. Or as soon as I rock up at St. Richard's in Chichester and I'm following the signs for the sexual health clinic, I find that just a little bit jarring. And we'll do what we can to make that easier for people to access peer support right across Sussex.
Yeah, good. I mean, it shows, I mean, West Streeting's right. I mean, if, you know, prevention is better than cure, isn't it? I mean, if you put on a condom or take PrEP, you're not less likely to catch HIV, aren't you?
Well, a lot less. A bit late, bit late for us, though.
No, it is. But we can tell people how to learn from our mistakes.
I think one of the things that's really interesting, though, with the work that we're doing, clearly we're not really a prevention organisation. However, what we are is making the best of what you've got organisation. So we're doing a huge amount of work with the Silver Clinic at the Lawson around ageing and frailty. And whilst we're looking at people who are ageing and frail, we're also doing what we can to prevent frailty.
Yeah.
And that really is interesting. We work with the University of Brighton. We work with the sports science department, so we have people who are training to be OTs coming in and running our exercise class. We've got physiotherapy students coming in, and they're going to develop different practices and processes for our service users. And it's all aimed at preventing frailty and keeping people healthy as long as possible.
So you are actually Community Services Manager for Sussex Beacon in Brighton, and this is your song choice. It's A Wonderful Life by Hertz. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Brighton and Hove, 97.2 FM in the Brighton Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. We love hearing from you listeners. Please do email us at info@hivhour.org.uk. And the website for the show, the HIV Hour, is hivhour.org.uk. Don't forget, you can listen to this show again once it's been broadcast on the Radio Reverb Listen Again page. Just go to radioreverb.com and follow the links. And our podcast for each episode is released about 2 weeks after the first broadcast date. So there's plenty of chances for you to hear the show and listen to our wonderful guests, which this week are Rachel Brett and Alan Spink from the Sussex Beacon. Alan, that was your song choice, Wonderful Life by Hurt. Why did you choose that song?
Oh, a couple of reasons. Well, the first one was because I didn't want to choose another one by the Pet Shop Boys or Erasure, which I normally is my go-to.
Yeah.
And I remember discovering this band a few years ago, and I just felt so moved about the concept that somebody is feeling suicidal and a chance meeting saves them.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a beautiful song, it's beautiful lyrics, and the video is quite classy as well, and I just really, really like it. Mm. We do a lot of work with people who have suicidal thoughts,
yeah.
and it's always at the back of your mind that actually it is a wonderful life. It yeah. can be a wonderful life.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that sort of that tells yeah. that story quite well.
It is. I mean, we're both living with HIV. I've been living with HIV for over 30 years, and I've had periods of depression and despair. But it is a wonderful life, and you know, places like the Sussex Beacon and other charities, Lunch Positive, Terence Higgins Trust, and the clinics, the Lawson Unit—they've all helped me in my dark times, and just you know, a little shoulder I can hang on to or cry on, and just you know, and it's wonderful living in Brighton and Hove. And we spoke earlier about the quality of services we have here. So you are Community Services Manager.
I am now.
What does that mean, and what are you in charge of? What are you managing?
Well, pretty much everything at the moment. I mean, it's not a position I aimed for. But sadly, with the closure of the IPU, has left that all of our services that are offered to people across Sussex do come through my team. So I have a team of five people who run various services. We've got a women and families group. We've got a formula milk program. We've got a positive fitness class. We've got peer mentoring. We've got peer support groups. We've got day service. We've got casework, and our casework goes right across Sussex, everywhere in Sussex. If there's somebody in need, then as soon as we can, we're there to help them. We visit people in their homes, which is something that the Beacon never used to do. So we've got a couple of now roaming outreach workers that will go to you if you need support. We are currently offering quite a bit of support to our client base in East Sussex. East Sussex has undergone a bit of an unfortunate, in our mind, change recently, where the sexual health services in East Sussex are now actually run by NHS Kent, and the nursing teams in Hastings and Eastbourne are no longer able to visit people in their homes. And you may wonder, how does that affect people? Well, it affects people like me. I may be a Lawson patient, but I actually live in East Sussex. So if there was a situation where I couldn't attend clinic or I couldn't go and get my bloods done, who would do it? It used to be the nurses from the clinics in East Sussex, but now it's not. But that's something that the Sussex Beacon can support people. At the moment, we can't take bloods, obviously. But we have clients living in East Sussex that we will go and visit them and report back to their clinicians in Brighton or wherever they are. So our community offering is enormous. We get well over 230 referrals a year.
Right.
We currently have about 215, 220 people on our books in our various services.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're doing what we can to offer as much as we can to anybody living with HIV in Sussex or that accesses an HIV service in Sussex.
So which of the services that your team provides you think is the most needed?
All of them, of course. You don't expect me to pick one, do you? Which is the most needed?
Is there any with a particularly long waiting list?
So we're not an emergency service.
Right.
We try not to operate with waiting lists.
Mm.
We might. What we'll do is typically we contact people as soon as possible after the referral, and we may advise them that for an initial period, maybe we can only offer telephone support.
Mm.
But if it's somebody in Hastings or Eastbourne, we will talk with them. We will find out via different media means what their needs are and do what we can from the central site. I am thinking about what you just said about one service needed more than any, and actually I am going to nominate one, and that's our Crawley Hub.
Right.
Crawley Clinic is getting more and more patients. I think it's the only one that's growing in significant numbers across Sussex, and it's a significant increase, probably 50% over 100% over 2 years, something like that. But it's a big increase, and there's a specific community or communities that they service because they're close to Gatwick.
Of course.
They get quite a lot of migrants, people see people in great difficulty fleeing atrocious situations in their own countries and looking for support. And those people are reminiscent of us when we were young men and HIV appeared in Brighton, how frightened we were and how we were, some of us were just like just living from day to day, visiting people in hospital, going to funerals, waiting for our turn to come. And so many of these people that we see in Crawley, they turn up and they've never met another person living with HIV. It's almost unthinkable that most of us in Brighton would find ourselves in a situation like that. Currently, we have about 39 or 40 people on our books from Crawley, and that grows weekly. We have another new group out in Chichester, which has only started a couple of months ago. I shall be there on Saturday. Because that's the convenient time for them. So,
we do
that. And that's something that I think going forward, a community team are going to have to consider that HIV isn't 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
No, because people are living more successfully.
We're not saying HIV. Living well, are we?
I chose my words carefully there. But obviously, you know, working well enough to have a job, I mean, it might still be a struggle with episodic conditions. But it's not 9 to 5 as you quite rightly say. And, you know, people with childcare commitments as well.
Yeah, there's people. Yeah, it is people that maybe go to London every day and get on the train, go to work, come home, and then maybe they're feeling lousy. Yeah. But there's nothing. There's no one for them to turn to. So we have to develop something for everybody, so that if you're living with HIV, you have some support in Sussex.
Yeah.
And I really see this as a chance for us to really shine. We're going forward, we're developing all the time, we're constantly looking at the services we offer, do they work? Hence our partnerships with people like the University of Brighton, Sports Science. We also go and talk to student nurses. We have in the past spoken to trainee doctors at Sussex University, but not so much these days. We take students where we can, if they're young people learning a new trade and they want a really great bunch of people to work with, they can come to the Sussex Beacon.
Right. Good. Yeah, but they're experienced students. You're not just.
No, we don't take the first year ones. No, there are people about to qualify.
Yeah. So the Healthy Living Programme. I mean, obviously we mentioned before the last song that we know that we're an ageing population. How does that help people?
The healthy living is it's mainly exercise.
Right,
So it, as I said, it's about preventing frailty. So it was developed by Jaime Vera from the Lawson, Professor Jaime Vera, from the Lawson, and he's still involved in it. When we have the students arriving, he comes and chats to them and explains to them the purpose behind it. But it really is, the emphasis is on keeping people mobile, keeping them as agile as possible. I think our oldest client is about 83 or 84. A couple of weeks ago he said, God, I really ached after that one. It's like, great, that's really good, that's good that you can still ache, that's fantastic.
Muscles are still growing at 83.
Still able to do it. And it's also, there's some more information is coming out all the time about dementia, for example. Apparently, as I discovered at the Beaver Conference last week, something along the lines of 40% of dementia cases are either avoidable or able to be slowed down.
Yeah.
And some of the causes of dementia, it's isolation, it's loneliness, it's deafness,
COVID,
and in older people, it's poor eyesight. It's not what we used to think it was. And this was really, really interesting to me to hear this.
Yeah.
So our groups, particularly amongst our older people, are even more important.
Funnily enough, only on Tuesday this week, I actually met Professor Jaime Vera just in passing. He was at the Lawson Unit. I was going to see my consultant to discuss my latest blood results, which are fantastic. Thank you to the Lawson Unit for helping with that. But yes, he's agreed to come on the show at a future episode and talk about the memory, HIV memory website that he spoke about at the Beaver Conference. In fact, he opened the Beaver Conference, didn't he? Or he was the first speaker talking about healthy minds.
He was, yeah. He's a very interesting man, and I absolutely love the passion that he has in the work. And that's probably true of most of the people who do work at the Lawson. Most of our doctors, maybe it's because they're in a research environment as well, but it's I think it's fascinating. Other people think I'm crazy for thinking it's fascinating, but I do.
I do.
And the work that goes on. There's a new study at the moment, or a trial. I don't know if people know about it. There's a drug on the way. It's one tablet a week.
Really?
Once a week.
Right.
I'm on the trial,
right.
Sadly. I'm in the control group, which is really, really annoying and disappointing. But a colleague of mine is actually taking one tablet a week with no adverse side effects.
Mm-hmm. Did you attend the speech about the Rio trial results?
I sort of wish you hadn't said that. I tried to get on that one as well. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So listeners that don't know, the Rio trial, it's still going on, but it's about broadly neutralising antibodies.
BNABs,
yeah. So I think we're going to have to cover this on a future show, but to very simplify it greatly, giving certain antibodies to people living with HIV encourages the immune system to fight HIV naturally without treatment. These people, and it was a double-blinded study, so if you even we were on it, there was no way you would know if you were in the control group. And the doctors didn't know either. But you know, these people were studied at like 20 weeks after stopping taking their pills. Some of them were still fighting HIV naturally. So please, listeners, do not stop your pills without checking with your doctor first. In extreme circumstances, it can be helpful, but always speak to your consultant and get medical advice. But yeah, the future horizon for HIV treatment is very exciting with the new drugs that are coming on and the antibody treatments, and there's still no sign of a cure yet, but treatment is getting better and better, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's really amazing. And what the other thing that was quite interesting is we've got the injectables here already, the 8-weekly injections, intramuscular, so I don't fancy that personally, but there we go. There's also a couple of other studies and trials going on. One is a 6-month injection, which is yielding very good results, but it's currently the trial is for, is it PrEP users PrEP?
Right.
I don't know. I tried to ask the question at Beaver, if you're now trialing drugs as PrEP, does that mean in the future you'll be giving them to us? I'm going to make a bit of an assumption that it probably does.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there's another study going on at the moment for yearly injections, and that's the gold star. That's what we all want.
Yeah.
Once a year injection. Yeah. That would just be amazing. It'd be treatment and prevention at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, but it is exciting what's happening all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, get us off these toxic drugs. Give us the BNABs. That's what we really want.
Yeah. You fight them with natural antibodies.
Yeah. Oh, I love that word BNAB. It's BNABs. Just really something really cool about
it. Look it up, listeners.
What are you taking? I'm on BNABs.
Yeah. I think the results of the poster and extracts are probably on the Beaver website, which is bhiva.org for anybody that's interested. I think we will cover more from the Beaver Conference in future episodes. But we did do some Vox Pops, so I'd just like to play. Josh, Sue, and myself were just walking around the conference hall and auditoriums with our handheld microphone, and we were just interviewing people as we came across them. And here are some Vox Pops, and they include Mark Tweed, who's the manager of Terence Higgins Trust South, Dr. Gillian Dean, who's involved in the Martin Fisher Foundation, Gary Pardew from Lunch Positive, the Reverend Gide McCauley, who runs the House of Rainbow, Haran Tunnelay, who is an HIV activist, Lena, who's one of our injectable nurses here in the Lawson Unit, and I even managed to speak to a scientist from Portland Down. I was a bit scared. Don't know why, but Portland Down has this strange reputation. Obviously it's the chemical weapons research place, but Dr. Martine Altidore was telling how a patient very late presenting, very ill, was saved through a multidisciplinary team approach across the whole nation. So here is some Vox Pops from the conference.
Radio Reverb.
Play something
Brighton. So we're in the hall at the Beaver Conference 2025. I'm joined here by Mark Tweed, who's the manager of the Terence Higgins Trust here in Brighton. Hello, Mark.
Right. Hello. Good to be here.
What are you looking forward to for the conference?
Well, I think there's loads of excellent speakers here. So I'm looking forward to the range of subjects that they've got on show. Networking, meeting lots of good colleagues who I haven't seen for a good while. So, yeah.
And what do you get out of being part of Beaver?
Beaver's great as a network for clinicians, but also like people like myself working in the community voluntary sector, keep abreast of developments, join forces where we want to kind of lobby and campaign around important issues that are relevant for people living with HIV.
Right. Thank you very much, Mark.
So we're here at the first day at Beaver Conference in Brighton. It's 10 years ago. We were last in Brighton and Hove having this amazing conference. And we've got the wonderful Jill Dean from the Martin Fisher Foundation. 10 years you've been going.
We have, Sue. And it's been an amazing 10 years. And we've really tried so hard to keep the legacy of Martin alive. You know, he achieved so much for the unit. He came to Brighton in 1995, I think, just as the HIV treatment became available, and really revolutionised the treatment access and revolutionised everything. You know, he introduced things long before other places in the country did, and built the most dedicated, proud, you know, unit. He was always in it for the unit and his colleagues rather than himself, and he was such an amazing man. So it's been a lot of work building the foundation since then and trying to innovate as we think he might have done. The most important thing probably is becoming a fast track city in 2017. We were the first fast track city in the country. And that then has then given us the sort of the building blocks to work with the community and make sure everybody's on message and to use our resources, you know, to the best ability that we can.
Hello, we're in the community room at the Beaver Spring Conference. I'm joined by the wonderful Gary Partridge. Hi, Gary.
Hi, David. Great to see you here.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it, to have it in Brighton?
It is. We're just saying, it feels really strange not to have to do like a long leg train journey to get here for the crack of dawn. It's great to roll up and to see all these people here. And, you know, we're standing here now at the Martin Fisher Foundation stall, and you know, thanks to Beaver for that equitable approach, but I also thanks so much to Martin Fisher Foundation for giving us some space at their stall and enabling us to put up our posters and to promote what we do. It's all about equity. I'm looking forward to so much. Brilliant opportunity to network and to meet others working with HIV, and particularly those groups and organisations that are led by people living with HIV, for me. And also there's some elements in the programme around the involvement and future of the voluntary sector. So really, really excited to hear what's being presented there and to take part in those discussions.
So hello, we're in the community room and I'm joined here with Josh and Reverend Gide McCauley.
That's right. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So last time we met was a conference in London.
That's right. Yes, absolutely.
So you've come down, where have you come from today?
I've come from Manchester. Yeah. I arrived in Brighton yesterday, right. So I'm staying in the city.
Right.
But it's just so good to be back at the British HIV Association Conference. I mean, the last one I went to was the one in Birmingham. So and this year, I brought two of my colleagues along because we wanted to experience the space. We wanted to improve on our networking. We wanted to improve on our learning. And most particularly, we are focusing on the experiences of Black queer men living with HIV. Because the work of House of Rainbow focuses on that, creating peer support and, you know, and activities that Black queer men living with HIV can actually tap into. And I think the other intersection of that is also around our faith and our sexuality. Because many of us also come from country where homosexuality is criminalized and homosexual and HIV and AIDS is blamed on homosexuality.
Yes.
We want to be able to do the work to destigmatize them. And the other big honesty about being here is also to be able to connect with possible funders.
Yes.
Because we believe that our work is integral, is important, but we don't have the financial capacity to do as much as we would love to do.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you every success. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Catch you later.
So we're here in the community room, and Josh just bumped into somebody who he met doing a Positive Voices training.
Yes, Positive Voices.
Here we are with Haran Tulanai.
Hi, Haran. Hi there.
Hi there. What are you hoping to get out from being at the conference this week?
Oh, I love Beaver because it's the UK-wide HIV conference that brings the good thing is it brings all community and scientists and the consultants and all the sector together with pharma. So I truly enjoyed 3 days meeting other people, having a conversation, catching up, and networking. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
Have you got anything? Are you involved in anything in the Beaver?
Yes, I'm actually a vice chair for Beaver EDI Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion Group. Yeah. But in the conference, I'm delivering an oral presentation about HIV Confident Charter Mark that we did. We ran a survey on the NHS workforce that I'm going to be sharing the results of it, which is a little bit shocking. And then I have a poster about an activism project I run across the UK in the poster hall.
All right, we'll hunt out that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour, RadioReverb.com, 97.2 FM. We're at the Beaver Conference, and I've just bumped into an old friend.
Oh.
An old friend, well,
hello.
An old friend. Lena, who works at the Lawson Unit. Hello, Lena.
Hello. Hi, my name's Lena. I do the long-acting injectables in the clinic. I'm one of the nurses.
Yes.
And I'm here at Beaver Spring 2025 with a poster.
Fabulous.
Did like an audit about weight gain for people on long-acting injectables, a kind of year-on comparison of people, their weight before and after they'd started. So
how's it going actually with injectables?
It's going really well. We've got about I think just over 100 people that have commenced. We've got a few studies that are happening, like real life sort of studies about cognition, and there's also some sort of wider audits and stuff that are happening, so it's been very busy.
We'll have to have her on the show and talk a bit more in depth, but what are you looking forward to at Beaver?
Just seeing your beautiful faces, hanging out. Seeing everyone in their element, and I mean, for example, you guys kind of just being social butterflies and part of the community, and it's beautiful to see, and I love it. Absolutely.
Thank you, Lena. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
So I'm joined in the poster hall by Dr. Martin Altidor, and you've got a poster up here, and there are dozens of them actually. So tell me about your poster. What are you presenting? You're telling the conference.
Thank you. So my poster is in collaboration with my colleague, Dr. Ringshall, and Dr. Raff and Dr. Gleese. And essentially, we're presenting a case of a young gentleman who presented with new diagnosis HIV, unfortunately a CD4 count of 4. He presented profoundly unwell with multiple infections because of his really suppressed immune system. He had a very difficult time, lots of stays in ITU, lots of complex infections, and he had a very rare infection or rare inflammatory presentation. Called HLH or hemophagocytic histiocytosis. And because we identified that quite quickly as part of his presentation, we were able to speak to a national MDT and discuss his case, and the advice was to give him a very important immunomodulator drug or an immunosuppressant called anakinra, as well as steroids. And because of timely intervention, as well as the great support of the Lawson unit, we're able to administer the medicines really rapidly. And this gentleman, who probably would have unfortunately died because of these complex infections, he survived, and he's doing really well. And his CD4 count, although it took a while to bounce back, it did bounce back to 33 by the time he was discharged.
Right, so, that's brilliant.
So
that's really good. I mean, it just shows the importance of having conferences like this where agencies across the country can share their learnings from other clinics. Mm-hmm. And using an MDT, multidisciplinary team approach, as you said. So I'm so glad the gentleman had a happy ending.
Yes.
And good luck with the conference.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.
Some great vox pops there from the attendees of the Beaver British HIV Association conference that was at the Brighton Dome only just last week. Alan, one service we haven't mentioned yet is mindfulness, and I understand that there's a mindfulness day of mindful guided meditation coming up soon, isn't there?
There is, and it's actually on Saturday the 10th of May.
Yes.
It is Saturday, 10th of May. Yeah. I know that because I'm running a peer mentoring development day on the same day in same building.
Right,
yes.
Right. Oh, yes. It's great to see the beacon being used at weekends, isn't it?
So it is indeed. Yeah. And it's always been mindfulness has been the service that runs outside of normal hours. Mm. And we run mindfulness classes in the evenings.
Yeah.
It's been a bit challenging since the IPU closed because somebody has to lock the building.
Yes.
So that's been kind of interesting.
Yeah, my last evening session, it was strange because I've always been aware that there's been nurses or patients upstairs, and it was sad
and it is sad. Difficult, but yeah. We're sort of getting used to it, but we hope we don't have to get too used to it. It is very strange to be in the building and there's only two other people there.
It
just doesn't feel right.
For over 30 years there was 24/7 was there. I mean, I've spent Christmases there, New Year's Eves and all sorts of different occasions, my birthday, all sorts of times. So all the services that the Sussex Beacon still provides, and you've listed quite a number of them, they are all on the Sussex Beacon website, which I believe has had a new look.
Yep, we've just done a relaunch. We've rewritten it, we've redesigned it. It's much more modern, it's much more informative, it's more relevant to the day. And on it you'll find, if you want to, a referral form into the community services, and people can self-refer.
Right.
I'm not sure if everybody knows that.
No.
We will obviously go through every single referral, and we always contact people that refer themselves. We do an assessment, and we let people know when and if they can access our services.
Yeah.
And it's possible somebody will refer themselves in for one service, but through our assessment, we will maybe pass them on to a different service.
Yes,
but
course.
Please have a look at our website, comment on it,
yeah.
Give us some money. You can still do that.
Yes, there's a donate. Yeah,
or just refer yourself into one of our services, and that's for people anywhere in Sussex.
Yeah. And please do donate, listeners, because like all charities, times are hard. And in fact, one of the biggest fundraising activities for the Sussex Beacon is the half marathon. Rachel, you've just had your first half marathon as CEO. How did it go?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I think the glorious sunshine added to the day. I mean, it was such a spectacular day, and there was such a buzz in Brighton. Yeah. And just really joyous. We had over 250 runners.
Yeah.
Running for the Beacon, and people run year on year for us. It's part of their running calendar, or just part of something that they do on a regular basis for charity, for our charity, because they have a connection, or may have used our services, may have had people stay with us, may have had people pass away with us, and they carry on fundraising for us year after year.
Yeah.
And we rely on the runners, new and old, to carry on doing so.
It's
fantastic.
It's a great event.
Yes, it is a great event.
So we've covered a lot of Sussex Beacon news today. We've got some national and local news. So I've got when we were at Beaver Conference, Richard Angel, who is chief executive of the Terence Higgins Trust, he was a tease. He teased us. There's a campaign happening, and it's going to be piloted in Brighton, and let's hear all about it.
It's 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com. We're here at the second day of the amazing Beaver Conference in Brighton, and I just bumped into Richard Angel, who's the CEO of Terence Higgins Trust.
Hi, Richard.
Hello, good to see you.
So we've been, the HRV Hour's heard a little bit of gossip that something's coming soon. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you'll know Terence Higgins Trust is proud to be the local provider of HIV services in Brighton, and we've got a really important team that work down here and do this work. And we've got a real track record of doing big public campaigns about HIV, trying to talk out to the world about how things have changed, not only for the virus, but how we can respond to it and how, of course, people can live well with HIV now. So you might have seen over the years we did the Can't Pass It On campaign. We're the first charity to talk publicly about that news, that the studies found you categorically can't pass it on if you take your medication. We also did Life Really Changed, showing that people living with HIV are going on to live their best life rather than what some people might think. We had the Scotland TV campaign where we said stigma can be more damaging than the virus itself and the response that that got. And of course, last July, we launched in Brighton a localised version of that campaign about stigma that was citywide in Brighton and then was duplicated around the country. So we're going to bring a new campaign to Brighton, right, and make sure that people in Brighton are the first to see it, and that we can really make that impact here locally.
Fabulous. And so why Brighton?
Well, one, Brighton is THT's home city in that sense. We, our physical footprint is across London, Brighton, Glasgow and Cardiff, and so this is a really important part of our family as the Terence Higgins Trust and where we invest and prioritise our work. Secondly, because it's needed, 7 in 1,000 people across Brighton are living with HIV, and they are hopefully having good sex with people in and around Brighton too, and so our messages matter both for those living with HIV and those who live amongst that group of people and want to live well, yeah, amongst people living with HIV. So it's really important for that regard. And also, it's bloody fabulous, isn't it, Brighton? and I think, yeah, that's, you know, it's both a city and a village. And I think it's a really important place for us, for the country, and for the HIV epidemic.
So who's this aimed at then, this new campaign?
Well, I can't tell you what the campaign is even on yet at the moment, nice, as we kind of tease our way through it, but it's focused out into the wider community. So it'll be on billboards across the city, digital ads, and online in a number of ways. We've got Ollie King from It's a Sin, who is a Brighton resident and Brighton champion. We've got John Waite, who was on Strictly, you might remember, and a famous, yes, baker and... Yes. On some well-known websites, and our very own Sue are going to be doing some community fundraising around the billboard where it's going to apply, and we're asking Brighton residents to back us in getting our next message, which I can't quite tell you yet what it is, but some of you will have been in our focus groups around it, or some of you have been done the online survey that we did where different creative options were tried and tested in different messages, so we worked out, so some of you might have a sense about what's coming.
An inkling.
We're showing a bit of leg,
just a little bit,
but we're not putting out yet, and but we are asking people to come in behind us and support our GoFundMe pages, yeah, so we can see these campaigns across Brighton.
So amazing to watch it grow and see what happens, isn't it? So yeah, brilliant.
You're hearing it here first.
Oh, thank you.
Brilliant. And I think it's great that the community are going to be sort of raising funds towards, yeah, this as well, sort of creating a sense of ownership towards it. And that sort of takes me back to the early days of the epidemic, when lots of the safer sex messages were homegrown here in Brighton, yeah, and it's great to see THT supporting, yeah, the city even further.
I think the benefit of THT is it's both a national and a local charity in, yeah, that sense, and it's really important. And all of our stuff starts with people living with HIV, those are communities affected by it, and those that we're seeking to speak to. We put our audience first at all times. And so this campaign, you've started with Insight Work here in Brighton, then went out and surveyed people and did follow-up stuff with people here in Brighton, so they could see the creatives, give us feedback, and people, we love their frankness, quite frankly. Yeah. It's a refreshing part of working in HIV, and so it's worked up with the community, and now we're asking the community to put a kind of bob in a bucket, yeah, and help us get that message out even wider. And I'll come back to you and tell you as the campaign develops.
We'll look forward to the next instalment. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Oh, thank you, Richard, for that. So that was Beaver Conference, and we also managed to speak to a person from Positive East, which is a wonderful grassroots charity based in London, and they are doing a quilting project. And this is where we're going to ask listeners, all of you, if you're living with HIV, they want a selfie of you. So they want a selfie of you that they can print out onto fabric and make a quilt, but it's going to be a giant mosaic. So each face is going to be like a pixel in that mosaic, and the mosaic will spell out U equals U, as we all know is undetectable equals untransmittable. So here is Ian Montgomery talking about that very project.
So here we are in one of the side rooms at the Breva Spring Conference. I'm joined by Ian Montgomery, who is representing Positive East, and your particular project that you're passionate about.
Yeah, so it's the U equals U community quilt project that we launched last December. And so the idea is that we're going to be collecting selfies from the community, those living with HIV as well as allies, to the U equals U message, and we're asking them to submit selfies. We're going to then print the selfies out onto different types of fabrics, and then we're going to hand stitch them together into three large quilt panels. And the idea is that we'll map out the selfies. So from far away, you'll clearly see a U in one of the panels, and then another panel, an equal, and another panel, the other U. So from far away, that's clearly visible. But as you approach the quilt, those would sort of dissolve, and you'd see the, you'd be left with a beautiful mosaic of faces from the community. Idea, yeah.
And it's people living with HIV. So the previous quilt projects have been very, very good, but they've been focusing on remembrance and
absolutely, absolutely.
Living with HIV.
Absolutely. So this is our sort of Positive East way. So we're the custodian of the UK AIDS Memorial Quilts, and we're part of the UK AIDS Quilt Partnership. And so this is Positive East way of sort of completing that narrative, you know, of obviously it's moving away from memorial to celebration. So it's about celebrating those living with and those that are undetectable, as well as allies.
And how can people get involved in this project?
Yeah, so go to the Positive East website. So it would be Positive East. .org.uk/U=U, and then simply just submit a selfie. Very, very easy.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much, Ian.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's thank you to Ian from Positive East. So if you're interested, get your pen and paper handy. Go to the website www.positiveeast.org.uk/U=U, and that will tell you all about the project. Rachel, Alan, that's all we've got time for. I'm sure we'll have you back on the show again soon. Delightful always to have you. Let's play a song and this to play out. And this is my choice, I'm going to be selfish. This is Human by Rag & Bone Man. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thanks. Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye-bye.